What up, what up, what up, good people? It's about to be the top of the hour. It's your boy, Chef Dre Blass, Coach Andre Blassingame, on the scene with the recipe, Menu Monday. I'm excited to be with you guys again here in this ever so lovely podcast. It's always on Mondays, 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. For my people out on the East, 4 p.m. For my people out on the West and beyond, 2-1 Central, Pacific Time, that time over there. You know, I'm kind of in the middle. So, but 3 p.m. Central Time, I'm definitely excited to be here. As always, you know, love my intro music. Shout out to Nigel Northstar from Rochester, New York. Check out some of his stuff on YouTube. He is absolutely phenomenal in what he does. Like I said, he created that beat especially for the show. So just love the guy. Just love the guy. So today's topic, we're actually going to hop right into it. You know, typically I usually start with the sponsor. So today's sponsor is going to be the CDC, right? The people that give us all the information that is necessary for the disease and control that happens in the United States. A little bit about the CDC. And of course, you know, I'm being funny with this sponsorship. A little bit that you know about the CDC. It's the Centers for Disease Control. And the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is the National Public Health Agency of the United States. It is a United States federal agency under the Department of Health and Human Services, and its headquarters is in Atlanta, Georgia. So we're definitely excited to give shout out to ATL for having the CDC home office there and to give us all this great information and continued updates and doing the best that they can to prevent outbreaks and diseases and things like that happen nationwide. So once again, you guys, when you got some time, go check out the CDC website. It's cdc.org. cdc.gov. Let me get that right. cdc.gov. There's some incredible information that you can find on there. All right, so we're going to hop right into this one. The title of this particular podcast is called The Social Experiment Known as COVID-19, the Coronavirus. I believe it is C, if I'm not mistaken, at going into the Delta variant. It is C on the Roman numeral scale. You know, you got alpha, beta, then after beta, you have C, and then you have D, known as Delta. So we're currently dealing with the Delta variant that has reared its ugly head now, which is a byproduct of the original COVID-19 coronavirus C. Okay? So everybody get an understanding. Now, this isn't me making this up. This is the facts that the CDC has, you know, between the variants, because little known fact, for just in case some people did not know, the first identification of the human coronavirus, because the coronavirus was a disease mainly in animals way back in the day, but they believe it's been around for, you know, centuries in man. But the original human coronavirus was first identified back in the 1960s, okay? There were some scientists that were doing some things back in the 60s that actually discovered the coronavirus in humans. That's one of the reasons why, you know, they added it to the back of the Lysol bottles, because it does kill COVID. It takes about 2 minutes to kill COVID on its surface. So for my people out there, vaccinated or not, be sure that if you can get your some Lysol, get it, because you can spray it on the doors, you can wipe down the doors, you can spray it on door handles for people coming in and out of your house, et cetera, et cetera, because it kills it in about 2 minutes. Something else that I found, I can't say I found any information on it, but something that I do is I dip a Q-tip in alcohol and I rub it on the inside membrane of my nose, and it helps cleans out a lot of stuff in the nose, since this is a virus that is airborne. More so than everything else. That's why we have to wear the mask and be covered up and wash our hands constantly, because if it's in the atmosphere and in the air, much like the flu, You got to get it off quickly and often as possible. All right, so that's a little background on COVID-19. So I'm going to talk more about it being a social experiment. So we're going to start some more with some facts, okay? COVID-19, like I said, it's been around from the 60s, it's documented. Now it's turned into an outbreak and epidemic, and of course they attributed the outbreak to in Wuhan, China, with three people, and it turned into this whole thing, right? And with the advances in technology that we have now, the different things that go on in our society, I'm going to pose a thought-provoking topic that's going to have some fact and some of my personal opinion based on how money works and how our governments work together for control. All right. So in the United States, there's been 37.8 million total cases of the COVID-19 or the Delta variant, which is currently circulating now. Of those cases, there's been about 628,000 deaths. Now, on the surface, of course, that's a lot of deaths. Nobody wants to see that many people die, period. So I don't want anybody to take what I'm going to say next, dealing with fact, to be, you know, insensitive or uncaring. These are just the facts. 628,000 people have died out of 37.8. One of those was my father, who passed away from it. One of those is another friend of mine. That just passed away a few days ago, about a week ago. Two aunts of mine have passed away from this. So if I sound insensitive, trust me, I believe that it's a real thing and it's really killing people. But I'm also here to shed some light. That's about 1.6% of all the cases. Worldwide, 212 cases, 4.4 million deaths. And I know when you see the death toll, you're like, wow, that's a lot of people. That's only 2% of the 212 people that actually got COVID-19 and recovered, right? And I want you to understand, when I talk about this being a social experiment, when you look at the numbers at 1% and 2% of people dying in comparison to the people that got it, there's more numbers of people dying of drunk driving. There's more numbers of people dying of the flu. There's more people dying from, you know, stillbirth. There's more abortions than there has been death, you know, with this COVID virus, right? But when you see the propaganda on TV, you know, they don't ever talk about, out of the 212 million people that got the COVID vaccine, they don't talk about the other 18 million that didn't die. You know, I mean, sorry, not 18 million. Sorry, excuse me. The other 208 million people that didn't die, that did recover. And see, the media is painting a picture for you to control, right? I'm not going to get on the whole thing about whether to take the vaccine or not. You make that decision for you. I have quite a few friends taking the vaccine. I have not taken the vaccine. I've had now 9 COVID tests in over the last year. I've been in the hospital twice, once for pneumonia in the summer and once for a diabetic episode called diabetic ketosis. And neither one of those times I tested positive for COVID-19 in 9 times. And I'm in a food service industry where I'm with clients and customers. I move around a lot. I'm a speaker as well. And so sometimes I'm in groups of, you know, 10, 20, 30, 500. I just did a conference, you know, I was part of a conference here in Dallas a couple of weeks ago that had 1,000 people at it. And as soon as we were done with the conference, I went and got tested, got another negative result. So every case and every story is different how you deal with COVID. But just know, do what's best for you. Make a godly decision, not a good decision. Okay? So back to the social experiment. The media is going to paint this picture to you of it being such a bad pandemic, right? That, oh, this is preposterous, this is crazy, we have this out of control, et cetera, et cetera. But what they don't paint to you is the people that have recovered, the people that have come back from it. Even when they talk about the vaccine, You know, there's been some people that died from the vaccine. Of course, they don't have the exact numbers. They do have some numbers, but not the exact numbers. They have people that have died, and they attributed to getting the vaccine. But we've also had people with the vaccine, like our great Governor Greg Abbott of the state of Texas, who got COVID-19, and he was also vaccinated. Now, he was also taking some other things with it as well for his recovery. There were some antibiotics and things like that. And, you know, he had little to no symptoms for about 3 days. And they said they tested him the other day, and he is COVID-19 free. So when I say it's a social experiment, I find it interesting that the city of Dallas County, not the city, the county, is bringing back or has brought back the mandate for the mask, right? Going against what Greg Abbott said about not having masks. And it's funny that while they're in litigation for it, going up to the, you know, the Supreme Courts and the justices and having all these conversations about whether to wear a mask or not, I find it extremely interesting that all of a sudden Greg Abbott gets COVID. All right. So social experiment for your consideration, number one. If you ever watch a show called House of Cards, House of Cards is a fictional show that depicts real things that happen in our government when getting laws passed, getting decisions made, and getting bills pushed through the Senate, the House, et cetera, et cetera. Because everybody knows that the president really, well, most people know that the president really doesn't have as much power as you think he does, because he's got to have some swing votes from them 500 plus people that vote on these bills and laws. So show called House of Cards, it'll give you a nice overview of some of the things that may or may not happen. It is extreme, so be prepared, because you're going to see everything in the sun in that particular show if you ever watch it. But what I learned from watching House of Cards and from my different friends that have been in the political world and researching political documentaries and things of that nature is that the people with money make the decisions and make the things happen to go over the head of whoever's in charge. So if they needed a swing vote, something ironic would happen so that you get more people to vote, okay? Like I said, social experiment, and I'm going to use the most recent one, number one, Greg Abbott getting COVID. Well, the judge in the Dallas County is trying to get this pushed through. I think it's a coincidence, not that, alleged, that Greg Abbott gets COVID-19 maybe a week after it goes into litigation about whether to wear a mask or not, because he put a statewide mandate not to wear a mask, and the judge in Dallas County did not agree and wanted to challenge him. So just imagine if you've got somebody that's a proponent for guns, and then they get shot, right? People are going to be like, that's going to be something that's going to swing the vote for how people used to think. Greg Abbott says no mask. A lot of people are going to be behind him, you know, because they like, it's my constitutional right and all this other stuff. I say wear the mask because it makes other people feel safe, and it keeps you, you know, more out of harm's way than if you don't have the mask, right? Because it's an airborne virus once again. Have something to filter out, at least have a layer that separates the two, right? So Greg Abbott gets COVID-19, and of course, you know, he's got money, so he has all the extra antibiotics that most of us, you know, don't have access to when we get COVID-19, where we just got to go home and rest up or take things for the throat, stuff that's over the counter. He's got the real good stuff to keep him going because, of course, he's the governor, right? It's important that the governor stays alive, and we don't want the lieutenant governor or the third in charge to take his role. So we make sure that him and our presidents and everybody else are like that. But for some of us that don't afford that, etc. So I say that to say this, the social experiment of him getting COVID-19, a lot of people that was on his side about not wearing masks are going to change their tune, because it's like, man, if our governor can get it, who has security around him, who's staying away, and he's vaccinated, you know, why not support this judge in Dallas County that's saying, hey, we need to stay masked up? And it's an experiment just to see how many people are going to change and how many people are going to sing a different tune in it. You know, how they're going to respond, if you will. because the media is going to hype it up. Oh, now, and if anybody's in Texas, if you read anything from, you know, the Houston Chronicle to the Dallas Morning News to the Tribette, I mean, the not the Tribette, what is that one in Fort Worth? The one that's in Fort Worth, the Star Telegram. Right. If you've read any of those, you know, they definitely hyped it up for, you know, Greg Abbott. Oh, he's been a proponent to wear these masks, and here he is getting COVID, right? So that's social experiment number one. That's the most recent one. And we're going to take a quick station break, because I know I'm going to forget with this particular topic. And I definitely want you guys to know all about Intentional Talk Radio Network. It is a Black-owned network. So if you're looking for a home or somewhere to go, it is endorsed by myself as you know, credible, excellent. You can find me and anywhere that you listen to podcasts, and any of the great podcasters that are on this show. You can find it anywhere you listen to podcasts, you know, from Apple Music to Spotify to the Google and Amazon. I've been able to find this just about anywhere. And we're in, you know, 20, 30, 40 plus countries at this point. So if you're looking for a home, if you're looking for a place to, you know, have your voice heard, expand it out and be able to grow, please check out Intentional Talk Radio Network. It's been a phenomenal ride for myself. I'm excited. I think I'm at episode 8 now, 7 or 8. And man, it's just been a joy and a pleasure to work with, you know, people of color that are incredible owners. So with that being said, this is The Recipe with Chef Dre Blass. And we're going to take a quick pause for a station identification break.
Hey, Dre, just to let you know.
Over to you, Kenny Gillette.
Hey, Dre, we are in 57 countries. We've been heard in 57 countries.
57. Oh, and 5-7.
5-7, yep.
Just yeah, I heard that, 5-7.
Okay.
I was lowballing.
That's all right. We got you. All right.
Thank you for listening to the Intentional Talk Radio Network. You can catch us every Monday from 5 to 7 Pacific for Mindful Mondays with Dr. Corliss Bennett. Every Tuesday from 5 to 7 Pacific for Change Matters with Kenny Hendricks and Colette Williams. Every first and third Tuesday from 4 to 6 Pacific for Your Life, Your Health with Dr. George Bell. Every Wednesday from 4 to 5 Pacific for Conversations with Colette and Corliss. And every Sunday for Shine with Shondell with Shondell Wilhite. Hey folks, like what you're hearing? Well, not only can you listen to us live, but you can catch our podcast on Amazon, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, Pandora, Simplecast, and Player.fm. Make sure you check it out.
Hey everyone, it's Colette Williams from Change Matters. Have you ever thought about hearing your voice in lights? Well, what I mean is on radio, with thousands and thousands of people listening. Well, now is your chance. You can join us here at Intentional Talk Radio by hosting your own show. Bring your friends and your family. You might become the next Tom Joyner or The Breakfast Club. Call us. Drop us a line. Let's make it happen. That's Intentional Talk Radio Network, 214-919-5605. Or drop us a line at changematters99@gmail.com. That's changematters99@gmail.com. See you then.
And we are back with Chef Jay Blass right here on the Intentional Talk Radio Network. Chef Jay Blass, come on back.
What up? Of course I'm back. So, thank you for that wonderful brief pause for the calls. So, as I was saying, just to kind of recap about the social experiment, I find it interesting that litigation comes up about this mask, and then the governor gets, you know, COVID, but in 3 days, he no longer has COVID-19 because he has the vaccine. So the social experiment has done two things. One, it's going to get that swing vote, if you will, for at least just Dallas County. to keep the mask mandate and go against the governor, because he governor's not wearing a mask, he gets COVID-19. Number two, it's going to swing also towards the governmental side, because he is already vaccinated and he was healed according to the daily COVID test that he was getting within about 3 days. So it pushes two agendas. One, to get back to the mask mandate, which is another form of control, to take away what we know as a democracy. And then the second one is to get more people to take the vaccine. For me, again, I'm not an advocate for or against the vaccine. You do what you think is best for you. Reason I haven't taken the vaccine is because if anybody knows me, I'm pretty much around a lot of people on a regular basis. It's my industry. I'm one of those essential workers, if you will. I'd say worker because I own my own business, but I'm around, you know, people pretty regularly. And during this entire pandemic, you know, even having two hospital stints, you know, not once have I have had the coronavirus. I mean, I just got tested recently because I've been traveling this weekend. And I got tested before I left, and I'm going to get tested before, you know, I mean, when I get back off this plane the next time that I fly. And so it just hasn't, you know, affected me besides the deaths that have been in my family of people that have not been vaccinated, with the exclusion of my friend a few days ago that died. He was vaccinated, and he still died. So, you know, it's different for everybody. But little things like that, especially in Texas, it's going to, in the media, be portrayed in the sense where it's going to push more people to go one way or the other. Either you're going to get vaccinated or you're not. And what's probably going to push the vaccination ahead a heck of a lot more is the FDA approving Pfizer's version of it, right? Pfizer's version of the vaccine has now been approved by the FDA after, what, a year and a few months. And so, you know, a lot of people, at least I've heard this in different blogs, I've heard this in different podcasts, a lot of people weren't taking it because it's like, well, if the FDA didn't approve it, then, you know, why would I want to take it? Then I've also heard, you know, experimental drug, you know, it's the gateway. It's like they used to say about marijuana back in the day. Marijuana was, you know, the gateway drug. It's going to get you to go into taking whatever else, you know, And so all these different agendas are being pushed forward for something that didn't necessarily need to become a pandemic, because it's been around since the 60s. So don't think they came up with this vaccine in 1 year. All they did was perfected it to go with the C variant, and now they're adjusting it more to go with the D variant. So this is not something that is new. This is not something that just popped up, you know, like the Spanish flu did in the 20s, because in the 20s, they didn't have the technology we have now. They may have had the flu then. They didn't have this version of the flu. It didn't necessarily have something to combat it, so they had to do some more experimenting, et cetera, et cetera. But almost too many people died then with little to no technology. Now we have incredible technology, and in a year, they come up with a vaccine. That's because the human version of the coronavirus has been around for a while. All they did was take a vaccine that they already had for the alpha and beta version, tweaked it for the C version, I think it's the creatine, and the Delta variant that is currently out now. So in this social experiment, this is more about control and population control. There was a couple of statistics that I saw on the CDC website, laborstatistics.gov, and the United Department, not the department, the census of the government. By 2050, at the rate that we're going, we're going to have about 10.5 billion people on the planet. I believe they said we are growing at a rate of, I don't know where I put that page, either 84 million a month or 84 million a year. It was a lot, because in 2019, we grew 124 million in people in a year, right before the COVID virus came in. They said by 2050, we're going to have a food shortage. I'm part of a cohort that I talk about almost every show, the Mindful Eating for the Beloved Community, group of chefs that try to help find solutions to end world hunger and do better in agriculture and growing. I'm actually doing a class this Saturday on hydroponic growing, how to grow up and underground as opposed to across our fertile land. Because at the rate that we're going, we're either going to outgrow the land that we currently have, or we're going to damage it. So with chemicals, asbestos, and not asbestos, chemicals, fossil fuels, and the different things that we put in the environment, that we're going to have to be able to grow food without using any dirt. But we can still do that very naturally, right? That's what hydroponic growing is. Most people think about hydroponic growing being, growing marijuana. But it's basically growing plants, vegetables, tomatoes, et cetera, without any ground, right? Without any dirt. So, but anyway, because of the fact that we're growing so fast, and Kenny, thank you for putting up those numbers, that we're growing so fast, by 2050, they're saying we're not going to have enough sustainable food and sustainable food sources for us to continue on. Now, most of us is thinking, 2050, oh my God, it's 30 years away, right? But think about it, 30 years ago, we would have never thought that we were having a food shortage or crisis. We were still just trying to eliminate hunger, right? Trying to get less people homeless. But in the United States alone, our consumption is so ridiculous that it's truly going to be a problem. So this social experiment is more than just the COVID-19. It's also a way to help bring population control. Now, this one is going to be an uncommon conversation because people don't understand the ones that have money make these decisions about population control, who they control, what they put out there, et cetera, et cetera. For your food to chew on with the recipe in the menu, if this has been around since the 60s, we've known it to exist. It's just never become an outbreak. Why 40, 50 years later you decide to do it, and it just so happens that more of the minority population is affected than the population as a whole, right? More people of color, and that's any color, primarily African American, especially here in the United States, but most people won't consider the Asian community or Chinese people and Japanese people, et cetera, from over there to, be people of color. But it's interesting how it started with, people that have more pigmentation in their skin than our European Anglo-Saxon brothers and sisters, okay? And it spreads over here, and it's killing more people rapidly in lower income that don't necessarily have the money to do it, even though they're giving away free vaccines that don't have the money to maintain or even get to it. It's a population control. It's a wonderful way to secretly keep us from not paying attention to what's really going on in the United States and the world, because I'm not going to just say the United States, because it started in Wuhan and it came over to the United States with two or three people, and it turns into, 212 million people that have contracted it over the 7 billion people in the world. Excuse me. So, again, if you look at that number, that's about 1% of the world has gotten COVID, and they've turned this into a pandemic.
So Dre, I got a question for you about that. Anytime I think about whether it's some sort of conspiracy theory about what's going on, I always think about two things. Oh, number one, what is the end game? Okay, and I've heard people say that, yeah, the end game is population control. But my other question is, why sort of invent this new disease? Now, coronavirus has been around, absolutely, it's been around for a long time. But if they wanted to do something, why just, like, for example, the vaccine, if the vaccine is controlling people, why not just put it in the flu vaccine? Why not put it into the pneumonia vaccine or tetanus shot, things that people get already? Why would they decide to come up with something brand new and then try to push that on people, which seems to me to be even more difficult than just putting it into something that already exists?
Well, this is my theory on that. It's a test of mind control. It's a test of population, not population control. It's a test of social control. What is the limitations that we can do as a government or as a people to control and tell people what to do, right? Because they told us that we needed to wear masks and wash our hands. Every bathroom that you've been in for the last 25 years has a sign up that says you need to wash your hands for safety. They didn't tell us anything new that we didn't already know. They didn't give us anything additional on top of what we already doing except wash your hands more. Hand sanitizer has been around, known to kill 99.9% of germs even before. The flu has been around for a while. We haven't been just using hand sanitizer just regularly. Everybody in every store that you go in had hand sanitizer in the bathroom or at the front door to fight the flu or to fight the common cold or to fight any other diseases that are transmitted that way through that. They didn't give us anything new to combat what's happening. There was nothing in addition except for wearing a mask. But if you know anything about the Asian culture, right? In the Asian culture, the doctors teach their people, and even the medicine doctors and the holistic doctors, they teach their people in the Asian culture that when you are sick, you wear a mask so other people will know that you are sick. You don't wear it to keep other people from making you sick. You do it as a courtesy for others. Because imagine this, if we're all walking around, me, you, and Colette are all healthy, we're walking around, we see somebody with the mask, we know they have on the mask, we know they're going to be sick, we're going to avoid them, right? We're gonna make it a point, say, oh, okay, well, she has on a mask and she's not feeling good, so we're going to walk a little further away, we're going to walk around. See, this is something that was already in practice. They did it back in the Spanish flu days. All they did was tell us what we already should have been doing, with the exclusion of wearing masks. We didn't need to wear masks, but it's an airborne virus. And then all masks are acceptable, with the exception of like gaiters. So there's not enough layer, even in the masks that you go buy at the corner stores and stuff like that, to really protect us if someone is less than 6 feet away. Because, you know, if somebody sneezes, it can go up to 22 feet, right? So you're pretty much stuck out. Somebody coughs, it goes almost up to 10 feet. Now, the mask does help minimize it going up to 10 feet, but if you got a thin mask, like most people do, most people don't have masks that really cover their face. They just do it because they've been told they had to. So they didn't do anything new. They just told us we needed to wear it as a safety precaution. And so now it's fixed in our mind that we have to wear it. It's fixed in our mind that we have to conform to what they say. Again, I'm not telling anybody not to wear it. I wear the mask because it makes others feel safe. I want anybody to think that I'm one of these conspiracy theorists that's saying, no to the government, don't do it. You know, no, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is just think about it. Just think. Men, we don't think anymore. We like to be told what to do. We like to do things that don't cause us to think anymore. And I want to invoke to people the thinking process when it comes to this, because there's probably 1,000 underlying things that we don't see in the media, or that they put in the media and they bury it because COVID-19 is so prevalent, right? I mean, look how long it took to find out what's going on, over in the Middle East and in Israel. We talk about COVID so much, you know, there's 600 people that was on a plane that took off for those people to get out of exile because of the war that was going on there.
Oh, you mean Afghanistan? Right?
And it's been going
Afghanistan.
Afghanistan, thank you. I couldn't think of it. I just could think it was the Middle East. But just think about how, if there was no COVID-19, how much more coverage that would get for us to understand what was really going on. What's the United States involvement in it? And they put these things out there to distract us from whatever the hidden agenda is. And the question is, we got to find out what the hidden agenda is. And why is it some people like myself can be around a whole bunch of people, even been around people that were tested with COVID and not get COVID at all? And I was telling my friends the other day, I said, you know, I might have that secret blood type. You know, maybe I need to go test and see if my blood is the cure. You know, like they do in those movies. You know, there's trying to find that one person that has the blood that's going to cure everybody. And, you know, those science movies I always think is funny. But
that
is kind of my...
That could be you.
Right. And I said, and I was telling him, I said, it could be me. I said, I don't honestly know, you know, but I was like, it's just funny that, you know, I've never been sick. Now I wash my hands regularly and sanitize and I wear my mask and, you know, everything else, but I haven't had the vaccine. And I mean, you know, Colette, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I'm an essential worker. I see people all the time. I'm in the food industry, you know, I counsel and coach people in the restaurant industry. So I'm in their restaurants. You know, and it's just like, wow, you know, and somebody could call me and like an event I had a couple of Sundays ago, you know, the guy called me and said, hey, man, the event right before yours had COVID. I know me and you interact with one another. We shook hands, et cetera. I said, man, it's funny that you called me today because I actually got me a COVID test early this morning. And the results should be later today or tomorrow, you know. And then not even an hour after I told him that the results came in and I was negative. And I said, man, I hope yours come back negative. Let me know how it goes. And it's a social experiment, this COVID-19, of mind control. Because they're telling us what to do. So I'm gonna pose this question for anybody that's listening in. Kenny and Colette, y'all can answer if you want to, but you don't necessarily have to.
Okay.
How many of us know what is in COVID-19 that causes, I mean, not COVID-19, in the vaccine that keeps us vaccinated? Does anybody know what mRNA is and what it does to the DNA?
I don't think that we have had that conversation. We've not had that conversation.
Okay, cool.
However, in talking to the scientists and talking to those who have been at the forefront of this, it does not destroy, impair, or alter the DNA. Now, I say that because of the conversations that we have had. Now, are they going to tell us the truth? I have to believe that they are. I have to believe that they are going to tell us the truth. Now, what would be the purpose? Is it for mind control? Is it for population control? What chemical, drug, what toxin is in that vaccine that alters the DNA? And when it alters the DNA, what do you get after that? It alters your DNA, so then what?
Well, from what I understand,
it's not going to create zombies, however, because we already have zombies running around. So it's not going to do that. So what?
Man, we have zombies with other drugs already. Yeah.
From what I understand, go finish, Colette, then I'll see.
So what is it going to do by altering the DNA? What do you get after that? And remember, there have been women who took the vaccination and they've given birth. And there are, unfortunately, women who got the vaccination and had some issues. Just like the woman here who was supposed to get the vaccination after today because she wanted to wait until it was approved, and now she's gone. Her baby's here, but she's gone. So, and I'm not necessarily a proponent. I think that we need to look at this in a realistic manner, in a manner by which everybody can understand what's going on. And remember, theories, conspiracy theories are not new. So theories and all of this, it's a gigantic reach, I think. It's a gigantic reach. Now, population control, that ain't new. So we talked about population control back in the 60s. It was back in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So my question always is, we gotta believe somebody. Who do we believe? Who is telling us the truth? What is it? What do the scientists get out of this? Is it simply population control? Or what is it? Because I don't think anybody's being paid to tell us a lie.
Let me say this. From what I understand about the mRNA, most vaccines, and my sound is weird. I don't know what's going on. Most vaccines, they actually give you a shot of the vaccine, like the flu vaccine. They're giving you a shot of the flu, and then the body develops a resistance to that. And from what I understand about the mRNA vaccine, what it does is that it fools the body into thinking it's got the disease or the virus, and then the body builds the antibodies and the resistance to that. Now, back to having said that, back to what Yolanda was saying about you know, who to believe. And I agree with that as well, because, you know, right now we hear all this stuff. There's, you know, 10,000 things a day out on the internet, whether it's Facebook, Twitter. I get TikTok feeds and Instagram and everybody with their own opinion. And I have to kind of fall back to the fact that, you know, right. Dr. Fauci has been around for six presidents and he's got all this pedigree behind him. And am I going to believe him or some random guy on the internet? I'm going to believe him. Now, if he's telling me wrong, then again, that's just the hill I have to die on, because that's who I made my decision right. to believe. I did not want to get the vaccine. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm an anti-medication person. I'm not on any meds. I take vitamins. I take care of myself. I try to eat healthy. I drink a lot of water. So I'm not on any meds. So that's why I didn't want to do it. And I'm a little bit hesitant because we know what the government can do. But when the rubber hit the road and mm-hmm. it came down to it, and they stopped the mask mandate here, and people are out there, and I was doing a lot of gun shows and things like that with a bunch of people who didn't believe it, I decided to just go ahead and get it, sort of reluctantly, but I'm kind of glad I did, and no side effects or anything like that. So, you know, again, you do have to make your own decision and figure it out for yourself. And from what I'm not making it for political purposes, right wing, left wing. A lot of these people want to hang Dr. Fauci and all that. No, again, if I'm going to choose somebody to believe, I'm going to believe the person with the credentials until somebody else comes along. This got to gives me a better reason to believe them.
Yes. So. And I'm the same way. You know, I'm not telling you one way or another to go. I'm just offering the opportunity to think, because the mRNA technology, because I want you to understand that this is a technology, biotech, that Pfizer has created. Okay. What it does is it's a ribonucleic acid with the active ingredient of mRNA. What it does, once inside the cells, the DNA encoding for the coronavirus spike protein can be read by the cell and transcribed into mRNA. So what does that mean? That means the molecules contain the genetic material that provide instructions for our body on how to make a viral protein. Okay? Because it provides instructions, it's like a trigger for the immune system to create more of an antibody within our bodies that our DNA does not make normally. The response to it causes our bodies to make the antibodies that is needed to protect us from getting infected to the coronavirus. So it's biotech. It's still not something natural that our body comes in. What it does, it doesn't give us the virus like the flu did. What it does is it attaches itself to our DNA and gives the DNA a jolt, if you will. Hey, look, this is something new that's coming in that you don't recognize on your own. So I'm going to provide what you need to fight against this disease. Biologically, okay? Like I said, this is not natural. This is a man-made thing that they put in. With that, for me, that could be a lot of things that could be injected into your body through a needle that's, I believe it's twice the size of a typical needle that they draw blood with, you know, or maybe a little, not twice the size, maybe a little bit, maybe like one gauge above it. It's a little bigger than the typical needle that you would get that they would draw blood with. And so, because it's inserting a biotech, and I'm going to continue to use the biotech so people will understand that it's technology that they're putting into the body that reads the DNA and tells the DNA to make a antibody for the coronavirus. Now, they say that the mRNA has vaccines that alter your DNA because the molecule can convert information shared in DNA into proteins. Now, they say that that is not true. Once again, this is food for thought, just for you to think. It's critical to know that the mRNA vaccines, they don't ever enter the nucleus cell. If you know anything about the nucleus cell of the DNA, where your DNA is stored, according to science, it never gets that far into your DNA to really hook up to it. It just tells your DNA to biologically, through technology, to create an antibody to fight against the infection. So after the infection, the mRNA from the vaccine is released into the cytoplasm of the cells. Once that protein is made and on the surface of the cell, the mRNA is broken down and the body permanently gets rid of it, because that's what it does. The body recognizes that the mRNA is not real, even though it came in and said, hey, look, I need your proteins to make this antibiotic to protect you from the COVID-19 coronavirus is coming up. The DNA says, okay, the DNA makes what's needed. And then the DNA recognizes, hey, wait a minute, you don't belong here either. And then permanently gets rid of it, which according to science says, it doesn't change our DNA. But again, this is technology that's put in you. It's not something natural. It's not like putting in a pill that dissolves. They say that the mRNA virus is permanently kicked out of the system. So what do you, you know, but they don't necessarily tell you how. And of course, you would assume that it would be through waste, right? That'll be the biggest thing. But you have something that goes in that's able to tell your DNA to make an antibody that we don't necessarily have, even though it's been around since the 60s. And the body should be able to recognize it and be able to create something to fight against it. But it's been approved to put that in, take the vaccine or not. It's up to you. I just tell you to continue to do your research. But to, like, for instance, in New York, to even go to restaurants and sit and eat, see, that's a mind control thing. They're trying to put it out there to control it. It's making us wear masks, putting in mandates that you have to do it. I mean, there's some countries that I've seen online, you know, that are forcing, you know, the kids that are even under 12, parents that have to get them vaccinated. It's only a few places that I've seen it, you know, but, you know, making them, like, not having an option. There's places where people are getting arrested for not wearing their mask, not making it an option.
So,
right? And so when you start taking things like that away, that's where, you know, you have the, yes.
So do you believe in the theories? And do you believe that the control, if you will, is part of a sinister plot to control the planet, the people on the planet? Do you think that there is something sinister going on that people really need to be aware of? Because if that is the case, then we're in for a rude awakening anyway, even without the virus, even without that. We've got a whole lot that is going wrong in the Black community. So with that, what do you think? What do you think? And what do you think we need to do, actually? What do you think we need to do?
Well, so I'm going to answer this directly. I wouldn't quite say sinister, because I believe that the people in power think that they're doing the right thing. So that's why I'm not going to say sinister, but it's what they've been taught for the longest. And when I talk about the people in those high places, the people with money, the 1%, the 200 billionaires that we have at the top of the list, we don't have anybody Black in the top 220 of the wealthiest people in the world to make these decisions. So I'm going to leave that there for people's food for thought. You can go look it up on the Forbes list. Number 220 is an African man that is a billionaire. And everybody know those top 200s, the 1%. influence, make, and bring forth most of the decisions, if not all the decisions that happen worldwide, not just the United States. All right. So I wouldn't say sinister. I would say that they believe that they're making the best decision possible for all the people that are the majority, because they're the minority and they have the capital to do it. What that plan is, I'm not sure. What you need to do is stay alert. I've said this on the show before. I don't think that my people are asleep. I just don't think they're paying attention. I don't think being awoken is the issue, because we've been talking about being awake for the longest. I think my people recognize that the people with money are against this. I believe my people recognize, and when I say my people, the people of color recognize that the people that have the power, their color is green in the United States, and then the color is a dollar sign. And we don't have that buying power. We may have some voting power. We may be able to protest and riot. At the end of the day, there's still 13 million people in the United States versus almost half a billion people in the United States. Even if we all work together, the changes that need to be made, again, is going to be at that presidential level, is at that presidential dollar level. So as a people, we need to pay attention, and we need to learn to work together holistically, naturally, work together spiritually, emotionally, yes, physically, with our resources. Because although we don't have many people that are in billionaires, in a billionaire class, there's enough of us together that are thousandaires and millionaires that we could truly significantly make a difference if we decide to lower our egos, put our pride to the side, and band together and build more capital and wealth with one another to make those significant changes.
Right.
Because what is happening is we don't know on our level, because we don't have anybody with the capital to know what's going on at the higher level.
You're right.
If that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
It's not one of those, what can we do? There's a lot we can do, but first we have to get somebody in there that's going to be willing to pass along the information on what's happening to prepare us. See, the most wealthiest person that's black is worth like $11 billion, right? $11 billion. He doesn't even crack the top 200. So, and it's only one of him. The next one below him is like $6 billion, and they're like in 400, 500, you know, so on and so forth. They're not in that elite class enough for, they're enough to let them come to the golf course, but not enough for them to let us sit in the cigar meeting.
Sit at the table, right? That's right. You can
play right?
Golf with us, but you cannot come
to yes. The table. Yes. Once we're done having golf and I'm going in and have my, you know, my $1,500 McAllen,
yes,
and have my Cuban cigar that used to be illegal brought into the golf club, and we sit here with our legs crossed and laugh and talk about all the broke people. You're not there yet, even though you're in the billionaire class. Because I don't want you to know what's going on, so that you can share with your people the changes we're going to make for the extremely wealthy.
Right.
That's right.
Which is why, you know, we have people that come on the program and talk about, you know, black people don't need to join the military. Black people don't need to join law enforcement. And some people don't even believe black people should be involved in politics, you know. And what that does, it leaves us completely vulnerable and at the mercy of the people that you're talking about. If we're not going to involve ourselves, then we just have to take whatever comes at us.
Yes. And we just don't have the buying power. That's why this show is about health and wealth, right? And that's why I brought up the topic of the social experiment called COVID-19. Because we're educated on the point of where we can make a decision whether we want to take the vaccine or not. People that have underlying illnesses, you know whether you want to take the vaccine or not. Somebody knows somebody that's taking the vaccine has been great. Somebody probably knows somebody like me. I'm on both sides. I know four or five of my college buddies, they've all been vaccinated. Nothing has happened to them. They got vaccinated like when it first came out. So we're talking 6-7 months. Mm-hmm. They're talking about, you know, people are going to die in 6 months, 2 years, et cetera.
Yeah.
But I've also known a friend of mine who, you know, got the vaccine, like I said, a few weeks, about a week ago, you know, they passed away from the vaccine. My father passed away from COVID-19. I've never experienced COVID-19. And one of my daughters has had COVID-19 that was in my house. And when she told me she had COVID-19, I literally had just hugged her the day before.
Yeah, I have a literally. Friend, I have a friend whose wife died of COVID, and he was sleeping in the bed with her, and he didn't get it. You know, so
exactly. It, yeah. It's weird how it works, right? And it's like I got tested as soon as she, you know, told me that she was positive, and got my results the next day, and they were like, "No, you're negative." And I was like, "Okay." I literally hugged this girl. I mean, she was crying about something that didn't have anything to do with COVID, but she was crying about something, and we were hugging and, you know, loving on her, doing the father thing. She's an adult kid. She's like 20. Me and her talking, and then she went to work the next day, and you know, because she didn't feel good that day, but wasn't really showing COVID symptoms. Then she went to work, and they test them, I think, once a week or something like that at work. She got tested and she was positive. And of course, she was sick for the next 14 days. And wow. I was fine. I've been tested twice. And it's like, okay, this is weird.
I think there may be something that's some people's blood. It may be that there may be some validity to that, you know.
Kenny, I honestly have thought about it. I did, you know, even though I made a joke with my friends, I was like, you know what? There's probably people out there that probably naturally carry the antibody. Vaccine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The antibody in them is just that, of course, because of what's going on, nobody's going to, you know, they're not going to tell you, because I've had my blood drawn during this time,
you should get your antibodies tested, because that's the way. So for people who don't want to get vaccinated, they need to be tested for the antibodies, because the antibodies is what will keep people from getting severely sick. It'll keep people from going to the hospital. The antibodies are what people really need. Healthy people have the antibodies.
And see, that's a conversation that the medical world don't want to have. Because I know there's more than just... I know anything that has... I've learned this from science. Nobody has to believe me. Just go research some scientists and talk to them. Any disease that's made in the environment naturally has a cure. In the environment, naturally, because it's called order and balance. It's like good and evil. I tell people, whether you believe in God and the devil, the reason that they both will constantly exist, because there's always going to be good, there's always going to be evil, and they're always going to have balance. Always going to have balance. We don't serve a God of imbalance or coincidence. We serve a God of balance. And I tell people, I don't care if you believe in the Norse God. I don't care if you believe in Satan himself, Buddha, all the other ones out there. If you research all of them, they're about balance. So if there was a disease that is created naturally, I'm going to repeat that one more time. Naturally, there's going to be a cure for it. And based on what they say about the COVID-19, of the coronavirus, because it started off again in animals, like I said in the beginning of the show, and it became a variant that, you know, was in humans, and they said it could have been around for centuries, but it hit humans in about the 60s, and technically they say it's not man-made, things of that nature. That means if it's not man-made, that means there's something natural in the environment that counters it. And the science don't really research to figure out how to counter it. The scientists are paid to research how to capitalize, not counter. They're not designed to search the cure. They're designed to search the let's minimize. Because even with our doctors, the way that they treat us for things, they don't treat us to cure us. They treat us to capitalize, to monetize. That's why they tell diabetics that you're going to be on, you know, medicine for the rest of your life. And when I come to my doctor and say I beg to differ, because all these other tests says I could lose 70 pounds, 50 pounds, 40 pounds, change my diet from this to this, run a couple tests of allergen tests to see what I'm allergic to and what spikes my sugar and what doesn't, and I don't ever have to take these pills again. Why don't you teach this in the beginning? You say lose weight and change your diet, but you will be on insulin until you die. Lose weight, change your diet. You will be on metformin pills until you die. Right.
Because most people are going to do what the doctor says. Because exactly. They're not going to debate or counter or dispute the doctor. I did, however, when the doctor told me 8 years ago that my A1C was 6.5, she asked me if I wanted to go on metformin 3 times. And I told her no, 3 times. I'll do it myself. I lost 35 pounds, gave up everything, and I've been able to keep my A1C down to 5.8, 5.6, 5.2. And last time I checked, it was 5.8. That means I have to go back to doing what I'm doing. I got to get out of the COVID mode and start walking again. But individuals can do it. It's an individual thing. It's individual. You can do it. You don't have to do what the doctor says. If you've got something, get your butt up and exercise. There's a lot
and
of folks
educate.
Out there that don't want to do it. Exercise, educate yourself. Do what the doctor won't do. The doctor will prescribe medicine. Do what the doctor won't do. Take your life into your own hands. You be responsible. You be the answer.
Well, good people, I'm gonna leave you with this because I am at my time. I thank you so much for listening in, Colette and Kenny. I appreciate you chiming in as normal. I'm gonna leave you with this based on what Colette just said. There's 3 things that are key for you in this learning process and growing process of dealing with COVID-19 and finding out the underlying things that are going on with the government. Not conspiracy theories, but things you can do. Educate, execute. I said educate twice because what we don't do is find out the truth. Educate, execute. Find out the truth. Keep digging for the truth. Ask a bunch of questions and then execute what's best for you. And you can do that. You can apply that to anything in your life. You want to lose weight, your doctor tells you you got to take these pills, anything. So that's some good news you can use. This has been Chef Dre Blass, Coach Andre Blass, and Game with the Recipe Menu Monday. Till next week, guys, I love you. Be safe. Do what's best for you and go from making good decisions to making godly decisions. Have an outstanding day. Love you.
Good night. Take care. Good night, Andre.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.